I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
We do hear a lot about microplastics these days. So how much of them are inside you? Where exactly inside you are they, and what damage could they be doing? David Cox, a health and medical journalist, got himself tested to find out. Afternoon, David.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
So could you start by describing the test that you took to try and ascertain how many microplastics were in your body?
Yeah, so basically I went to this longevity clinic in London, which is one of the few places which offers a test to look at how many microplastics are in your body. And they did two tests. They did a blood test, which is quite painful, actually, because most modern needles have plastic in them, which would obviously contaminate the test. So they had to use a very kind of old-fashioned needle, which did hurt quite a bit. Also had my semen tested for microplastics as well.
Okay, well, I assume they extracted that in the normal way. And then it's sent to the States for testing. How do they test the blood and semen for microplastics? What's the method?
Yeah, so basically, I think we've got various methods they've developed to kind of filter out sort of background contamination. Because obviously carrying out these tests are quite difficult because plastic is everywhere. You know, it's in the air, it's on surfaces. So I think they've developed some way of being able to kind of exclude that from the test. And then they can basically just give you a bit of an estimate of, you know, how many plastic particles approximately are floating around in your blood or, you know, more concerningly in your semen.
Do we know how we're ingesting microplastics?
Many different ways. You know, if you live in a big city, you're probably breathing in plastic particles in the air. You know, there's even a certain amount of microplastics in our drinking water. But I think some of the most common ways are just through food, through everyday things. Like plastic tea bags is actually a surprisingly common source of microplastics. You know, a lot of us don't think anything of dunking a tea bag in hot water, but that combination of the plastic and the boiling water is leaching out a lot of plastic into your tea. So that's one problem. You know, even in the bathroom, brushing our teeth, a lot of us are doing that with plastic toothbrushes. That kind of abrasive action is releasing microplastics into our mouth. Or, you know, as I was doing, and a lot of people end up doing, you know, using a plastic chopping board and you're cutting a carrot and sort of hacking into that. And you're inadvertently kind of releasing quite large plastic particles into your food.
But when we say microplastics, how micro are we talking?
You know, we're taught, obviously, you know, they are sort of invisible to the naked eye. But, you know, when you kind of look under a microscope, you know, they are kind of quite big. So, there's kind of two categories of plastics, really. You know, you get what's known as nanoplastics, which are basically 100 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. And they're so, so, so tiny, they can even just like get directly into your cells. Microplastics are a little bit too big for that. You know, they're basically about 1,000 times larger than a nanoplastic. But, you know, they're floating around in your bloodstream and activating your immune system. And, you know, a lot of people are quite concerned about what both these sources of plastic are doing to us over time.
And while, you know, obviously it makes sense that it's probably isn't good for us, we haven't actually established yet if it's doing any damage.
Yeah, exactly. This is very much, you know, an ongoing area of investigation. You know, no one has yet done a study where microplastics are conclusively linked to a different disease. But, you know, there's already been enough kind of red flag warning signs, I would say. You know, we've seen that people who have more aggressive prostate cancers, for example, you know, when scientists extract the tumor, look at it like sort of under a microscope, they can see more plastic in the more aggressive prostate cancers than in the less aggressive ones. So then that's an idea. Okay, maybe these plastics are perhaps accelerating kind of cancer progression for some people.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because there was a piece you pretty saw it yourself in The Guardian at the start of the year where apparently a number of studies were being criticised by other scientists because apparently detection, particularly the nanoplastics, is kind of at the limit of our technology at the moment.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And there's a big issues of contamination. So I think we do need to take a little bit of this with a pinch of salt at the moment, because there was, for example, there was a really, really big study which caught like a lot of attention 2 years ago. They looked at post-mortem brains, the brains of people who died and people with dementia. And they found that people with dementia seem to have more plastic in their brains than those, who died and hadn't had dementia. But then that was criticized because people were like, okay, they hadn't actually properly controlled for the amount of background plastic. So perhaps they were just simply, picking up plastic which had been contaminated. So, there's a lot of still ongoing questions about that, but it fits into this broader picture that, we are seeing some kind of like accelerated aging trends, more cancers, more inflammatory diseases in the young, and people are just wondering, is plastics part of that picture?
Mm-hmm. And so how long did it take for you to get your results back?
It was quite quick. It took a few weeks because I had to like post the samples off to the States and then they came back. But it didn't take too long.
Yeah. And how'd you do?
Yeah. I was honestly quite nervous about these results because, me and my fiance, we're getting married in April and then, be talking about family planning. And, I'd been reading all of this research kind of showing that microplastics, some people think they could be contributing to infertility. And, I'm in my late 30s now. And so I wanted to see how much plastic I had. I mean, I was lucky in the semen samples, virtually none was found. So that was a good thing. But in my blood, I could be doing a bit better. I did have, a few, maybe too many large plastic particles circulating. So I've been taking a few steps, been doing like making some changes, and I'm going to repeat the test later this year and see if I've managed to reduce that.
Okay. And what kind of steps can you take, given that we might just be inhaling this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think there's some sort of like limitations, but there's kind of like the low-hanging fruit which we can tackle. There's increasing numbers of plastic-free tea bags. You can just simply change your kettle. Like a lot of people are using cheap plastic kettles. So I bought like a stainless steel kettle. So that's one thing. Just bought a whole bunch of quite cheap wooden chopping boards. There's now a growing number of companies who are developing toothbrushes with plastic-free fibers. And, give me your brush out teeth 2 or 3 times a day. That's one very common route of just getting plastic directly into your mouth. So I thought, okay, let's try and take that out of the picture. And yeah, I mean, those simple things can make a big difference. I used to be quite guilty of like regularly getting takeaway coffees and like, a plastic cup from Starbucks or somewhere, and just trying to, a little bit more often, maybe make a coffee at home and take it with me and, stainless steel flask or something like that.
Well, David, best of luck with your next test and, of course, the conception as well. David Cox is a health and medical journalist. David, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.